Now, if you would, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. We're going to be beginning at verse 37. And this morning, let's talk about being faithful and flexible. You know, one of Chuck Smith's favorite sayings was, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break." And it illustrates a great point in our study this morning. It's been over a month since we last gathered, and we have switched to different styles and several topics in our teaching to be relevant to our circumstances. We have stayed in Isaiah on Wednesday and floated a bit on Sunday, but I want to get back to the book of Acts. Our last study was the beginning of March, and it was titled Working with Chains. And the premise was that Paul, now a prisoner by Rome and in chains, but continuing to preach the gospel despite his situation. And the reason he was able to continue preaching the gospel is he took his own advice that he gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Be instant in season and out of season. I use the original King James on that. It's a little more descriptive. The word in season means to take advantage when there is an opportunity or a convenient opportunity. And the word out of season means to take advantage when there is not a convenient opportunity. In other words, be always ready to preach, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Notice it not only says that we are to do these things, which is always convenient or not, but also how? With patience and sticking to the Word of God. There's a bit more in 2 Timothy that we'll get to at the very end of this study that pertains to the time we live in. But today we'll just start off with that. We find ourselves today really out of season. We cannot gather. We must pray remotely. We cannot hold Bible studies as we like. It's a very inconvenient time to be a Christian. And moreover, we have no idea where all of this is heading. Paul is in the same situation. His whole way of preaching the gospel has changed. He would go into the synagogues, open up the word of God. The Jews would gather. The Gentiles would join in. But all of that has passed. Now he is limited to his own opportunities by his chains. You know, we face a similar situation in our lockdown. But as God is changing the circumstances, we must always adjust to his leading. Our title today is Faithful and Flexible. We're going to continue in Acts chapter 21, beginning at verse 37, all the way through chapter 22, verse 30. And we're going to see Paul before the people. We're going to see Paul before the Romans. And then we're going to see Paul before the council or the Sanhedrin. So let's start off with Paul before the people. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the rebellion and led the 4,000 assassins out of the wilderness?" But Paul says, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." But when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in Hebrew, saying, Now, I want to stop here for a second. One of the things that can never be locked down in your life is your personal testimony. It is unique to you alone, and it identifies your initial relationship with God. We often forget how powerful it is to ourselves and to others, the unique leadings of the Holy Spirit, those odd circumstances that brought about your repentance. That alone time with God for the first time encountering his presence and mostly understanding his grace for you for the first time. That revelation that God has been tracking you and you never knew it. I was amazed that God would even bother with me as I deem myself pretty much a nobody. We might not be the Bible scholars with evangelism, but we have, and we all have, a personal testimony. It is powerful, it is persuasive, and it is uniquely personal to you. You know, Paul was a Bible scholar, above and beyond what we could imagine and possess today. God had revealed to him things nobody knew. He possessed a wealth of biblical mysteries and secrets to the New Testament era. But look what he chose to speak to the people, his personal testimony. Verse 1, it says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they all kept the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering the prisoners, both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished." We need to note here that Paul was absolutely dedicated to his mission of clamping down on the Christians. He, in his heart of hearts, believed that they were off track. Christians, they were just a crazy religious cult. But what is even more incredulous is Paul believed he was the one that was right with God and had no remorse in judging, condemning, and even punishing the innocent believers. It is amazing to me how right we thought we were before the Holy Spirit's conviction. And Paul thought the same way. Paul was a Pharisee. His whole life was legalistic. He believed he was entitled to a relationship with God because he lived a life obeying a rule. He kept the rule of law, but never the heart of the law of Moses. You know, Jesus often accuses the Pharisees of this in the Gospels. They would tithe on the very tiny things like mint, but neglect mercy and the goodness of God. You know, legalism has a way of blocking the heart of God and painting over the mercy and the grace of God in our lives. Legalism is harsh toward people, but even more so toward the legalist himself. He becomes the judge and the jury to others. We will find that when we minister to people and give our testimony to them, it will never be enough to convince them. It is only by the power of God in their lives that the new birth is activated. And this is how it happened to Paul, beginning in verse 6. "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone about me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.'" Now I can only imagine how piercing of his heart it was to hear those words, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." You know, what shock and what almost a frightful discovery must have hit Paul in that instant moment of conviction. I had a personal Paul moment just like this the second it entered my mind that I was, in fact, a guilty sinner before God. I remember the intense fear I felt standing naked and guilty before God. I had always thought I was a good guy, but in that brief moment in the presence of God, I understood that I was a condemned man standing next to the gallows. Paul here recognizes that very thing. His righteousness was as filthy rags before a holy God. And all that he ever did amounted to what he later described in one of the epistles as dung. Verse 9, it says, "And those who were with me indeed saw a light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by my hand by those who were with me, I came to Damascus. And there a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, brother Saul, receive your sight. That same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We often sing Amazing Grace together, and I always personally understood these two verses unique to my conversion. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. You know, grace strikes condemnation into your heart, but also is the very relief of all that condemnation. Paul had been brought into the presence of God to be condemned as a sinner. He was guilty of murder and worse, but also God brought him into his presence to be pardoned. And Paul, for the first time in his life, understood grace. Verse 17, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive the testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing me. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then, as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air. All in all, Paul continues to be faithful to Jesus and flexible to his current circumstances before the people, testifying, using his testimony of what God has done in his life. Now, at this point, he gets caught up in a Roman legal problem, so he is before the Romans. Verse 24, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that they might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? The common method of interrogation was to scourge a man to get his confession. Now, by law, no Roman citizen could be tortured or whipped or bound or receive the death penalty unless he was found guilty of treason. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. And then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum, I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Now, to be born a citizen of Rome had many privileges, but it also meant that both of your parents had to be Roman citizens. Now, remember, Paul used his citizenship before in Philippi, when they beat and imprisoned him. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded that the chief priest and all the council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So we have looked at before the people, and then before the Romans, and now we look at Paul before the council or before the Sanhedrin. It is interesting, when Paul is brought before his Jerusalem council, he is, for the first time since his conversion, brought before friends, contemporaries, and fellow Pharisees and Sadducees, the very ones that gave him letters to persecute Christians in Damascus. You know, we believe Paul's Damascus experience happened somewhere around 34 to 35 AD, and now it's been around 20 years since his conversion. Verse 1 of chapter 23, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Then the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Now, this was Ananias, also known as the son of Netabus, who was described historically as a violent, haughty, gluttonous, and greedy man who is the current high priest in Jerusalem. Now, not much has changed since Jesus was tried, convicted, and crucified. The high priest was supposed to bring justice and righteousness, judgment to the nation. But instead, they were only out for their power, their prestige, and their greed. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" Now, some things to take note here. Paul was right to rebuke Ananias, because unless a man was tried and then convicted according to Deuteronomy 25, you could not physically punish that person. Now, remember, they were judging him not according to Roman law, but to the law of Moses. But as they judged, by striking Paul, they broke the law. And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler to your people.'" Now, the logical explanation is Paul did not recognize Ananias as the high priest. And as it was 20 years since he was gone, this would make sense of not recognizing who this man was. Now, some have said that Paul was being sarcastic, saying that since he is the high priest, he should not do things contrary to the law. I think the former, as Paul is out of circulation of his former colleagues and did not recognize him as the high priest. But then Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees. He cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I'm being judged." Now, this came to mind. Jesus said that when we appear before the council or the judges, do not worry about what you say and how to answer. That in that very hour, the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and the right words. So through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, Paul divides the council. Remember, Sadducees did not believe in the mystical. No miracles, no angels, no spirits, no resurrection. Contrary, the Pharisees did. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say there is no resurrection, no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there aroused a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now, when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him unto the barracks. So Paul remains faithful to the gospel and is flexible in his circumstances. Though he's constrained in his life, God uses Paul to preach the gospels to the people, even to the Romans, and then to the Sadducees and Pharisees of the Sanhedrin. And then this prophecy, this comforting prophecy that Paul receives at nighttime, in verse 11, "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" What a comforting word, to be of good cheer. The Lord stood by Paul, God comforting Paul, even in the circumstances. Now, there are a few more lessons we will see as Paul is limited in his freedom. This will now continue until the end of Acts. But what great lessons we have for us today, that though we are mostly housebound, we have these great opportunities that sit before us as we are faithful and flexible in the circumstances God has kept us in. So we have been talking about faithful and flexibility in our testimony. He testified before the people, before the Romans, before the council, and much more to come in our final chapters in Acts. For Paul, it was a very inconvenient time to be a believer. His freedom is limited. He's separated from his friends. He did not have the fellowship of the church surrounding him like before. Yet Paul was instant in season and out of season, as the verse we started on. Now, I want to go back to our first scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul actually mentions this. He is in prison. He's encouraging Timothy to remain faithful and flexible in the current situations. Verse 1 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead," again, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Timothy, in our current situation, do these things because, listen, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables." You know, this is happening right before our eyes. He says the time will come. Well, this is the time. Actually, we are here in the time that he predicted. And there's a little bit more. "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Here's the amazing thing. Though he is writing to Timothy 2,000 years ago, these very words are directed to our times, the times that we live in. And we're to be faithful and flexible in the time we find ourselves in and to fulfill our ministry. You know, because our lives are on hold does not mean the gospel is ever on hold. Then Paul leaves Timothy some of his last words. Always enjoyed these, encouraging, finish the race. He says in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I understand completely that our times right now tend to be a bit confusing. God has called us to follow him in faith. Paul and all of us are in the same boat. One of the most important texts of our studies this morning is that the Lord stood by Paul. You know, God is with us and stands by us. And then Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." This is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament. He said to Joshua, "Be strong and be of good courage." We are to look for opportunities in these times we live and to be flexible and faithful on these times because Jesus Christ is coming back. And we are to be ready for Jesus to return. And that could be literally at any moment. Listen, Paul finishes off his word to us in verse 8 for our encouragement, for Timothy's encouragement, but for our encouragement. He says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. We wait for you, Lord Jesus. We are living in uncertain times, but God is not uncertain. He is our rock and fortress in these uncertain times."